to have a list of churches and communities where you can go and be with them, worship with them. I can tell you that most of God's men are very skittish. I literally had a man write me the other day and said, "Brother Stair, we crave Christian fellowship." That's the call of all the people across America. They don't know where to go to church. God's people don't know where to go to church. They're tired of the Jezebels, the hot pantses, the smart-aleck preachers, the compromisers. They're away with it. And they're not being fed. They're not even being strengthened to keep standing for what they want to stand for. It's a continual thing. Paul, your letter comes without saying, "Where can we go to church? Please, if you find a place where we can have fellowship with just a few people, let us know." And this man wrote me from Illinois. He said, "Brother Stair, we have a nice little meeting house. So they got about 10 or 15 people, and that's the common run too. Most of the ones who are worshiping God, just a handful of people. Just 2, 3, 10, 4. Come on, that's the truth. That's the truth. God, help me, it's the truth." And ever since they've heard me on the radio, the telephone right there, Tallahassee, said, "My God, man," he said, "you've opened my eyes to so many things I can only believe I was so blind." Just a few minutes ago, I went back, the telephone rang. The brother Sterry said, he said, "You've been helping me, you've been showing me, you've opened my eyes." Thank God. Thank you, Lord. See, in the midst of all, you're sitting here with your long faces. God, he touched me right there, real quick, didn't he? Give me a drink of cold water right there. Yeah. Thank God forever. Somebody said to me, "You ain't getting nobody saved." Well, there's not many folk getting saved, I can tell you that. But I received a letter in our paper this month. You ought to read it, from the prostitute in the prison. Beautiful letter. Did you read it?
No, I ain't read it.
Well, read it. Read what I put in there. I put good things in there. Stir your heart. Challenge your spirit. Amen. I'm on 28 stations now, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't get this kind of crowd. This is a conglomeration of people from all over America. Come on, people. Most of them come from places where there's just a handful of saints striving to hold on, striving to hang on. Thank God we was able to come together for a few days and find out that there's somebody else that still believes a little bit like we believe. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. And if God being my helper, we'll do it some other places. We're going to try our best to go and strengthen the house of God. I'm looking for the weak. Looking for God's people and telling them, little old Baptist brother from over there in South Alabama called me a few nights ago. He's crying. Young Baptist, Southern Baptist preacher. He said, "My God, brother," he said, "I've been preaching church going through the tribulation." I said, "You're a Southern Baptist and you preaching that?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "God showed it to me the other night. I was on a fast and God showed it to me." He said, "It just burned like fire in my soul." He said, "I've been preaching it in my church and they're getting ready to kick me out of here." Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. He said, "I don't mind getting kicked out." He said, "I just want to know, am I doing the right thing? Am I preaching the right thing?" I said, "Yes, you are, boy. Hang in there with it. Go right ahead and lay it on them." That's what it boils down to. Thank God forever. $15,000 a month. Haven't asked for an offering here yet. Don't intend to. Don't intend to. Don't intend. Oh, my God. How many places you go where that happens? And yet, almost $3,000 has come in without me asking. Almost close to $3,000 now. Without even saying a word about it. And then I even gave some folks some money back to help them get home. Chief Shepherd. Come on, the chief apostle. He did the work of an evangelist. He was a great teacher. Come on. He was a beautiful shepherd, a pastor. But he also was a prophet. And when he worked like a prophet, he worked just like I'm doing. Just like I'm doing. Boy, his eyes would flash, "You blind guides, you whited sepulchers, you scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you generation of vipers, you who has warned you to flee." Come on, that's just the way he operated. Just like that. I don't get much chance to act like a pastor anymore. Because I'm always put in the position of a prophet. I don't get much chance to do the work of the evangelist. I've done them all. And a teacher. I'm a teacher too. I can teach. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. But you can't find folk who are teachable anymore. Can't do much teaching because most folk aren't teachable. Just as soon as you tell them something, they start questioning you. They want to know if the Greek, they use the Greek or the Latin. We don't owe a soul a dime anywhere. And the people that stayed on our land here, God bless us with, and the motels or the trailer houses up the street, we're not asked to pay a dime. And won't be asked. Somebody said, you bragging? I'm telling you that it can be done God's way. That's what I'm telling you. Freely you have received, freely give. It can be done God's way. I don't drive no Cadillac car. Don't intend to. I don't think anybody ought to be buying them kind of cars. Stewards of God's money wasting on a piece of trash, a car. And you can't support God's work. Big fancy homes. You were told not to lay up for yourself treasures on earth. You were told not to do that. You sit on me again, I'll throw this shoe at you in a minute. You were told not to do it. Lay down up for yourself treasures. Forsake your houses and lands. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. You haven't done it, church. Now it's getting time for Jesus to come. And you're full of your spots in our feast of charity. You're going to stand ashamed because of your lack of stewardship. Being faithful to God. The one thing God requires of a steward is that he be found faithful. Praise the Lord. Never believed the time would come when some people would send me $40,000. Just 2 months ago, I think it was $40,000 came to this place. I should have bought me a new car. I may never get another chance like that again. Should have bought me a nice motorhome. God wants me to have the best. Ain't that right? That's what my sister tried to tell me, and I straightened her out real quick. He already gave me the best, sister. His name is Jesus. And I'm willing to sell all the other pearls to get the pearl of great price. Lord God Almighty, somebody say amen. Yeah, glory! We're going to get rid of all the other stones to get the precious stone. Hallelujah! He said, I'll prepare you a place in my Father's house. Hey, glory be to God. I wonder how in the world old Paul could sleep on the ground. Go hungry and destitute because he had a glimpse of glory. And he said the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Come on, hey, amen. Why would I want to mess up where I'm going by what I got? The other day a little bird was found out here on the grounds, floating around on the ground. Some of our sisters and a little girl went out there and picked up the little bird. I said, let the bird alone. That bird's probably dead today. Mother was up there just chirping and hollering. I said to them kids, stay away from the bird. The mother pushed it out of the nest. Sure, it fell down. But the mother was up there watching. The mother was saying, tweet, tweet, come on. Tweet, 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 come on. Tweet, 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 come on. She'd have tweeted enough, that little would have made it. Come on, a few more tweets, and that little would have said, hey, I belong up there with mama. Come on, but us little old handmaidens down here had to get in the way. Come on. And then poor old mama couldn't deal with the bird. Trying to give it a nest down here when mama just kicked it out of the nest. Mama knows that little bird can't fly sitting in the nest. Mama knew that little bird couldn't start taking care of itself sitting in the nest. So mama was trying to get that bird so it could take care of itself. Come on, amen. Us getting our nest down here. We get our nest and God's trying to get you out of your nest. Come on, amen.
He didn't say they that wait upon the Lord shall sit in the nest. The day that while they wait upon the Lord shall mount up on the wings as eagles. He said, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bunch of nest sitters. Huh? Sitting on the nest. Trying to preserve what we got. Why would any bird want to stay in a nest where it can fly above the trees? Come on, why would it want to stay in an old smelly nest, hallelujah, when that nest finally came out of the tree and was full of fleas? Come on, mama's kicking that nest bird out of so we get rid of the fleas. Lord God, come on, I will kick you out of the nest so we get rid of the fleas in you. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Praise the... Oh, boy. Bunch of nest sitters. Got our eyes on earthly things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Go ahead and preach, Ralph. It's all right. Yeah, go ahead, son. Hang in there. Praise God. Now, I'm going to preach for the radio audience tonight. You can listen if you want to. I'm going to try to get this one on tape. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Did you hear that? Now, I don't want to talk about that too much, but I just want to correct one of the most damnable teachings that's being taught today. Two should be in the bed, one should be taken. The other left. Two should be in the field, one should be taken. The other left. Jimmy Swaggart, Assembly of God, Church of God, UPC, Southern Baptist, on and on, teach that the one that's going to be taken is the righteous. That's what they teach. They teach that the one that's going to be taken is the righteous. And the one that's going to be left is the wicked. That's not what that says. That's not what that says. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking. That's where we are right now. Just before. That's where we are. And they're doing the same thing. And most of us are getting caught up in it. Eating and drinking. It's amazing how we condemn somebody for drinking too much, but don't touch nobody for eating too much. Marrying and giving in marriage. I don't know how they almost can rule that out anymore. They don't do that at all. Just shack up now. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Next verse. And knew not. Who didn't know? They keep telling you, we don't know when it's going to come. And then he quotes scriptures like that. It knew not. It didn't say Noah didn't know. It said the people didn't know. The world didn't know. Noah knew what was going on. God had told Noah when he started to build the ark exactly how long it would take him to do it and how long man had before the flood came. He told him clearly. Clearly. Very clearly told him. He said the days of flesh is 120 years. From this moment, Noah, to the time the flood comes will be 120 years. And then he said, and my spirit shall not always strive with man. And it's like I said here the other night, that was the thing that gave Moses, or Noah, the impetus to build the ark. If you could understand this, can you imagine Noah spending 120 years in building the ark, then all at once everybody jumps on that boat? There's no room for Noah. You know that when Noah got down and built that ark, the scripture said that God finally told him to get in the ark. And then he told him how many more days before the flood? He told him specifically, yet 7 days. Yet 7 days. Yet 7 days. Can you count? How can you count? Noah sat in that boat, said 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Come on, wife, get straightened up now. 2. Hey, boy, get your head in. Tomorrow's the day. Now the people outside that boat, There's an elephant.
Hey, Noah! How does an elephant speak?
What do you mean, no? They're mocking them. Just like they're mocking people like me who believe in Christian community. They're mocking us. Come on! The door was wide open. Noah could not shut that door. That door was held open and closed supernaturally. That door is Christ. Come on. The door was open to the day before the flood. Come on. Yet nobody came in. Nobody. Nobody. The door's still open, but folk ain't coming in. You know why? Because the Spirit is not drawing them. My Spirit will not always strive with man. And you are living in the day of the yet 7 days. That's where we are. Come on, we're down in the yet 7 days. Now, I'm not going to try to clear that for you, but that's how we're close we are to the end time. The yet 7 days. Come on. And the door is wide open. And yet people are not clamoring to get in. You can warn them about the nuclear holocaust. You can warn them about the coming economic collapse. You can warn them about AIDS. You can tell them that the world is going to have a water pollution problem. A food shortage problem. Come on. You can warn and cry and warn and cry and warn and cry. And they just go right on. They go right on. They don't pay no mind. You can say, come on, come on. The door is still open. Why? But the Spirit's not drawing. The Spirit's not striving. Even today with the preachers preaching, you got to draw our souls out. Even amongst God's people, so little spiritual reaction. So little spiritual reaction that the preacher almost has to kill himself to preach the truth to him. Come on, it's a task. It's a hard task. Because God said it's not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit. And there's so little Spirit moving amongst the people of God. You know I'm telling the truth. But God said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. And the Bible said they knew not. The people, the world, the lukewarm, the cold, the indifferent didn't know until the flood came and took them. Not Noah. Didn't take Noah away. Noah didn't go nowhere. He was safe in the arms of Jesus. He was anchored in the rock of ages. He was secure in his city of hope. And I say amen. Hallelujah. He didn't go nowhere. Now the Bible says, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Two shall be in the bed. One of those two shall be taken. Who was taken in Noah's day? The wicked was removed. The wicked. The wicked. The wicked. And who was left when it was all over? Righteous, holy Noah. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. You better get this through your little peanut brains, honey. God is going to take the wicked off the face of this earth. Yes, he is. The scripture says that God allows the wicked to flourish that he might cut them off. Go ahead, world. Have yourself a fling. Go ahead, people. Live like you want to live. God, as the black folk used to sing, payday is coming after a while. Oh, God said, go ahead, church. Suffer all the abuse. Come on, he said, but remember I have promised you that vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And he finally said in the Psalms 91, he said, 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It won't come nigh you. He said, here's what I'm going to do for you. With your eyes, you're going to behold and see the reward of the wicked. You know how you're going to do that? He's going to give you a grandstand seat in the sky. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be caught up together to meet him in the air. Come on. As he's revealed from heaven in flaming fire. And he's going to say, here, children, remember I told you, if you'd live true and walk holy and take their abuse and suffer their persecution, I'd let you see the reward of the wicked. Boom! He's going to wipe them off, and he's going to become like ashes under our feet. Oh, hallelujah! And we're going to take over this whole world and live and reign with him 1,000 years. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I wish somebody jump up and down 2 or 3 times and call his name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This is that time. Now you see, that's the kind of hope that God gives you. If you get that kind of hope, you can face anything coming. Come on, people. The end of your faith. The finisher of your faith. Come on. Glory to God. I was praying some time ago over here before we had all these buildings built. We was in our little living room there having a prayer meeting. And I was being overwhelmed because it seemed like God just continually shows me the terrible things that's coming upon the face of the earth. And they're mind-boggling. I can't believe it's going to be like it's going to be. I can't even tell you. The Bible says it's going to be a time of trouble such as mankind has never seen before. My, the troubles we have witnessed. And I read a story in the Bible where it says, a little mother said, we boiled my son and ate him. And yet it's going to be worse than that. It's going to be a time so worse than that. It's going to be a time worse than that. It's going to be a time worse than that. Come on. My God, how tough. The Bible said, woe be unto them that you suck in them days. The Bible said, the time will come that a woman with children will turn around to a woman that never had children and say, you sure are a blessed lady. Your past never gave suck. Your womb never bore. Can you imagine? That'll be a time when a woman who don't have children will be a blessed woman. It always used to be a blessing to have children. Today it's a curse and you know it. Come on, amen. You know I'm telling the truth. It's turned around so bad until children are tearing homes apart, ripping up mamas and daddy. Come on, full of the devil from the time they're born. Come on, people. You know I'm telling the truth. A time of trouble, a time of gross darkness, a time of horrible things is going to take place. And being the kind of a prophet that God has made me, He's constantly showing me these terrible things. And sometimes I quake in my boots and I say, God, I don't have the words to make these people understand the urgency of the hour. It seems like they don't have ears to hear. They don't have hearts to perceive. You can scream, you can holler, you can cry, you can moan, you can groan, you can pray, you can fast. And they still sit there because there is a dull of hearing. They won't hear. They won't hear. They won't hear. They love this world. It just can't be. They tell me, Brother Scary, it can't be that close. Surely God wouldn't permit it to us. The next generation maybe, but not us. Oh, you know, 10, 20 years from now, 100 years from now, but not us. Not us. Somebody else. This is it, folks. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. Hallelujah. 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 Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is tramping out His vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He's getting ready to balance the scale. Oh, hallelujah. He's getting ready to put Satan under His feet. Somebody say amen. He's getting ready to put an end to all evil and all sin. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Great day, great day, great day, great day, great day. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. Now, you know, we try to tell you time and time again where we're at. There is a place we are in Bible prophecy. In the life of Job, I'll tell you where we're at. We're right at the place where Job lost his family. Your family's now becoming a burden to you. Your families are now coming against you. They're going to cause you heartache and trouble. Job lost his family. Come on. Sure. You don't know it or not, but you've already lost your material things. The world's already got most of you people so hooked up they can take it away from you anytime they want to. Come on, they can bring you down by taking your things away anytime they want to. Come on. Your houses, your lands, your cars, they've got you so hooked up, so entangled. All they got to do is threaten you with a little old tax or a little old lawsuit, and there you go, right out the door. Come on, amen. Foreclosures, bankruptcies are happening on parallel in America. Come on, people are losing left and right. Yes, they are. 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 Oh, yes, they are. After Job suffered the loss of his family, then he was falsely accused by his friends. Oh, boy, how close we are to that. People call me a false prophet. Can't they do that? They call me a false prophet because of my mannerism, you know. They think my mannerism is so crude, you know. Why can't you be more finesse? Why can't you keep your hair slicked back, you know? Why can't you wear a three-breasted suit? Why can't you be a nice fellow? I am a nice fellow. I'm telling you how to get right with God. I don't know how to get right from that. Come on, people. I want to just talk a little bit for a minute about Noah's day. Noah's day. The flood came. The flood came. And it went. And Noah came out of the ark. And God put a rainbow in the sky. And here's what He said. I will establish my covenant with you.
Let me go back. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons, with him saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed. That's us. That's us. The seed of Adam, the seed of Abel, the seed of Noah, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Christ. You don't know all them guys were types of Christ? Every one of them were types in the shadow of the Christ that was to come. That's us. That's us. I hope it's you. Do you? Huh? I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. And with every living creature that is with you. Of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you. From all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a for perpetual generation that still takes us in. I do set my bowl in the clouds. Now, as God is speaking here, Satan is sitting over there. He's listening to this. He's hearing God say, I will never again allow all flesh to be cut off the earth. And I will not use water to destroy the earth anymore. That's God's promise in the beginning. It will never happen like that. All flesh will not be destroyed off the earth. When Jesus comes, the wicked will be destroyed, but there will be millions still left on this earth who have never heard the gospel, who have never been responsible for anything because they never heard the message. Come on. They will live on this earth. Christ will set up his kingdom. He will judge the saints. He will give them charge over the earth, and we will begin to rule and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Yes, we will. We'll rule with him. We'll reign with him. When he comes back, he's going to bring his holy city with him. A lady got so mad at me because I said, you're not going to heaven. The meek shall inherit heaven. Well, that's the way most of you saints holler it. One lady said to me the other day, she said, don't you know Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you and I will bring you to myself. I said, that ain't what he said. That ain't what he said. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again. And then he said, when I come, I will bring my reward. The thing I play prepared for you, I'll bring it with me. Somebody said, well, what about the streets of gold and the gates of pearl we hear so much about? Yeah, that's called the Holy City, the New Jerusalem. Gates of pearl, walls of jasper, streets of gold, crystal river. And John was looking up one day and he said, hey, I saw that Holy City, that Holy Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know if you've heard about the black hole. The astronomers and astronomers have been talking about the black hole. You know, people say heaven is up. You ask them where heaven is, they say up. Well, I said, that's dumb. The earth is round. If you was living in Australia, you'd be pointing this way. If you're living over here in the United States, you're pointing that way. The earth is round, you know. If you was living on this side of the earth, you'd be pointing that way. That's about the way most Christians are. Nobody can tell you where heaven is. They're all pointing their own way and no one... Come on. Bible tells you heaven is to the north. God's place is to the north. Everybody points to the north. No matter where you're living, that should all be pointing the same direction.
Did you hear that? Also understand.
Just a little while ago, these astronomers turning their great telescopes into the sky, finding them great galaxies out there. Find those great stars, millions of them, 250 million in this galaxy alone. 250 billion, thank you, honey. 250 billion in this galaxy alone. 250 billion stars. If you started counting by one, you wouldn't live long enough to get to 250 billion. Come on. You could say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and you'd never get done, honey. You'd be dead in the grave before you even got to 1 billion. Come on. Hallelujah. 250 billion stars in this galaxy alone. And the Bible said God gave everyone a name and calls everyone by their own name. Oh, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, the Shakti Korabaho Shakko Gahaya Landorabaho. They tell us that the sun is the biggest star in the sky. Every star you see up there is smaller than the sun. Come on, amen. The only reason the sun looks so big is because it's only 93 million miles away. That's all. Some of them other stars are millions and millions and millions of miles away. Lord, folk, you wonder what you're going to do in the coming kingdom. You're going to become a spiritual being. You're going to be able to explore the galaxies. Amen. You're not going to have no physical limitations. You're going to walk with Him all the Milky Way. How about it? Say praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, when we've been there 10,000 years by shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. How about it? Say thank you, Jesus. I wish you'd all act like you're saved here tonight. It might do you some good. If the sun was 10 degrees closer to the earth, everything would burn up. If it was 10 degrees further away from the earth, everything would freeze. Boy, God put everything right in place. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Now those astronomers, they're searching the heavens on a daily basis. They're getting stronger telescopes every day, and they just can't seem to find the end of it. Somewhere out there beyond the beyond, somewhere out there beyond the stars, they just can't seem to find the end of it. But one day they had them beam towards the north, and they found a black hole. It just looked like it was a great big tunnel up there, and they just started searching that tunnel, and they probed, and they probed, and they probed, but the signal couldn't go far enough. They couldn't seem to touch the end. Nothing ever seemed to come back. And it puzzled them. And they made a notation of it. A couple years went by and they went back looking again. And this time they found the black hole again. And this time as they were probing, all of a sudden they hit an object. And the signal started coming back. They said it's an object 4 square. And it's slowly coming towards the earth. Oh, hallelujah. 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 And John saw it a long time ago. He said, I saw it coming down. You got to admit, honey, 2,000 years ago, it was a long ways off. But it's getting near now. Getting near now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Getting closer by the day. That holy city. That great resurrection time. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm going to make you so excited you're going to be glad for the tribulation. Somebody said to me some time ago, why are you looking for the Antichrist? I'm looking for the real Christ. I said, you fool, you. Don't you know that the Antichrist is going to be the last sign just before the real Christ comes? Oh, hallelujah. My God, when we finally know who that rascal is, we can start counting the days. Come on. It won't be long until the real Christ will come. Oh, yes it will. God said, I'm going to put a bow in the sky. We see them every once in a while around here. God put a rainbow in the sky. God put a rainbow in the sky. Said, I'm not going to allow all men to be destroyed from off the face of the earth. I'm not going to permit it. It won't take place like that. I will not allow the waters to do it. A twofold promise. That's the point I'm trying to get across. He will not allow all flesh to be destroyed. Coincide with Jesus' statement, except those days be shortened, there would no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, I will not permit it. Now the devil knows that. The devil knows that. He knows what God said. That's right. And the Bible says that because the devil knows that, you're going to try again to make God a liar. Now some of you haven't been here when I talk about this, and some of you just don't seem to follow the trends of what the scriptures say. That's what the biggest problem is today. But the devil's trying to prove God a liar. Did you know the Bible said the only thing God can't do? It didn't say God can't fail. The Bible didn't say that. A lot of folks say there's two things God can't do. He can't lie and he can't fail. That's not what it says. There's only one thing the Bible says it's impossible for God to do. Only one thing. There's only one thing that the Bible says is impossible for God to do. Absolutely, 100% impossible. That's why he can't fail. That's why he can't fail. Because he can't lie. And Satan has, from the very beginning, tried to make God a liar. When God created heavens and the earth, before he'd done that, he had heaven already created. Come on. Who knows how long the heavens were up there? Who knows? From infancy. Come on. God never had no beginning. Never had no ending. And in the beginning, he had all those angels and all those great beings up there, and he identified himself to them. He created all them angels, you know. He created all the universe. Come on. Come on. Yes, he did. And then he identified himself and said, I'm God. I'm God. Angels, I'm God. Angels, I'm the supreme being. Angels, I'm your creator. Angels, I'm God. The angels that believed it kept their first estate. Certain angels challenged this statement. Challenged his claim to being God. Led by Lucifer. You ain't God. I'm going to show you ain't God. I'm going to kick you off your throne, God. I'm going to take your place. I'm going to become God. And ever since that time, Satan has been trying to take the claim of being God by proving God a liar. Because he knows that the one thing that God cannot do is lie. He can prove God a liar. God's claim to being God is invalid. Y'all, listen, I'm going to go for the radio again. You ain't doing no good, y'all. God said, I will not destroy man by a flood anymore. Satan heard that. All he got to do is destroy man by a flood and he makes God a liar. So God tells you that a time will come when the enemy, will use a flood. He will come in like a flood. Now, we know that the natural is a type of the spiritual. Come on. In order to teach a spiritual thing, God used natural things. He's not talking this time about water. He's talking about spiritual flood. A flood of a spiritual overflowing demonic forces and adversities. Come on. When the enemy will come in like a flood. Trying to wipe off flesh from off the face of the earth. Still trying to figure out why some of you people are staying here. You don't believe what I'm preaching? Now I know who you are. I'm trying to be kind. But if I keep sensing your spirit, I will bless you. I promise you. Get out of my face. You get out of my way. You got something you want to preach, something you want to teach, you go do it. But you get out of this place. Well, I'm serious. I'm not looking at anybody in particular because I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt, but I'm going to get you. I sense your negativeness. I sense your rejection of what I'm saying. And there's people here that God wants to hear what I'm going to say. So get out of here! Now you keep playing with me, I'm going to ask God to kill you. Brother Lumpkin asked me today, said, how come God's taking so long to do that? I'll tell you why, Brother Lumpkin. Because you and I ain't got enough faith to do it yet. But slowly, day by day, God has given me that faith, brother. See, you got to go by faith to faith. And God's made it very... Every one of you Christians know that God is going to bring judgment to the church with death. He's going to use death to cleanse the church. You know he's going to do it. He gave us an example in the days of Peter. Come on, you know he's going to do it. And one day, he's going to get these Peters where they're going to say, you're dead. You know, I'm so weary with people coming to my meeting. I don't care if you don't come. I am going to make this. I'm going to have the money that I need. I'm going to get it, whether you like it or not. But oh, how rebellious we are in this world. People come to me and they say to me that God sent them. And then they'll turn around and call me a false prophet. And I'll say to them over and over again, if I turn out to be a false prophet, which is a very real possibility, that could possibly be,
Just like you can turn out to be a false Christian. Come on. Am I supposed to accept you at face value? And don't tell me about judging, because every one of you have judged me. You've looked at me, you watched me talk, you see my face get distorted, you watch my anger, and you have judged me. You have said he should be acting like that. I don't think that's the way a man of God. Yeah, you have judged me. I take your judgment. Make your own decisions. If you don't believe a man of God, why don't you leave? And I keep telling you, God brought you here. He didn't bring you to a false prophet. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And when He has come, the Holy Spirit comes to you, He will lead and guide you to a false prophet, to an erroneous teaching, to an unethical practice. Dummies! And if I do turn out to be a false prophet the way some of you are thinking already, then what spirit are you following, sir? You sure ain't following the Holy Ghost, then, are you? Because He'd have told you don't go there. He's a false prophet. He'd have said to you don't go sit there. He's a false prophet. He'd have told you to stay away from here. He's a false prophet. Now stick that in your little crawl. A man wrote me a beautiful letter. He said, I want to support you. He said, may I have a few more days to try your spirit? I wrote him back and said, thank you, brother. I like that. I am so hungry for the day when God's people will be able to use the Holy Ghost to identify the people of God. When doctrine will have nothing to do with it, when parents will have nothing, but they will know by the Holy Spirit that they're in the presence of God's people. Now, the scriptures tell us that the enemy is going to come in. It didn't say he will come any time. It says when the enemy comes in like a flood. It was a prophecy. There's a time coming when the enemy is going to come in like a flood. I told you before, and I'll tell you again. He has never, ever, ever come against you like a flood. When we have quoted that scripture, we have quoted it erroneously. The devil never, ever has come against the church yet as a flood. I say it to you again. He has never, ever come against the church since the day of Pentecost as a flood. Do I have to go through the little ritual about the waters again? If you put water in a restriction, it has a name. The name is a creek, a lake, a river, a pond, a bucket of water, a glass of water, an ocean, a sea, a well of water. If it has restrictions, it has a name. It may be water in every instance, but as long as it is in restrictions, it has a name. Whenever water overflows or breaks out of its restrictions, no matter where it comes from, river, pond, lake, no matter where it comes from, it is called a... Thank you. I got one little person to respond. Come on, little children. Come on, children. Come on. The devil has always been restricted up until this point, and he's still restricted tonight. If he had his way, he would wipe us out in this place like that. He hates us. He could get by those angels camped out there. That man's crazy, and I keep telling you, I'm not crazy, I just lost my mind. Say that over and over again, just lost my mind. I can walk out there any time of day and night, and them old angels standing right there. Why, if those angels wouldn't have been here, some of you would have walked, wiped me out this week. Some of you were going to give me a reel down the country.
Yeah, some folks think they're being sent here to reprove me and correct me and straighten me out, Moab, and the more angels just... Isn't it amazing? There are several men in this place who could rebuke me and I would take it. Brother Meeker, Brother Lumpkin. I know those men. Come on. Come on. And yet they never have no desire to rebuke me. They never have no desire to discuss. They know me. They know my life. I've lived with them both. They know what I do, how I live, what I preach, what I say, what I do. Come on. And both of those men, if they want to rebuke me, I take it from them. Come on. And yet they never rebuke me. Only a bunch of pipsqueaks. Big shots want to do it. Young Seventh-day Adventist snot nose comes around here and wants to rebuke me. I wipe that snot off his nose. Should have blooded it a little bit. Somebody said, you don't submit to anybody. Brother Lumpkin, when I come to your church, do I sit down? Do you give me an opportunity to get up? Brother Meeker, when I come to your church, do I sit down? Wait, you give me an opportunity to get up? Don't tell me I don't submit. But I submit to proper authority. I don't submit to somebody under me. I submit to somebody equal or over me. Hello? I ain't no dummy. I know what I'm doing. I know what God has done with me. He told me, he said, son, if you be faithful to me, I'm going to give you spiritual authority over all the Southeast. And I promise you, in the name of God Almighty, that every legitimate man of God in the Southeast will sooner or later be on these grounds. As they come here for recognition by the spiritual authority that God has put in the Southeast. I promise you they will. I promise you. They're coming and don't even know why they're coming. They're showing up here on a daily basis and don't even know why. Why am I here? And I recognize my, I judge them. I charge their calling. I establish them in their calling and I tell them to go forth. Yes, I do. Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah. On a continuing basis. I sometimes look out the window and say, oh no, here comes another one. My God, here comes another one showing up. Come on. It's because God has given me that position and nobody gonna take it with me. Nothing in the church. In the southeast part of the United States, and that includes all the way over to Alabama, Louisiana, Arkansas, all these southern states. Hallelujah. The Dixie states. Come on. The ones who rebelled before were going to be able to stand up against the old Antichrist spirit. Come on. Amen. Have the rebel states. Glory be to God. Come on. Yes, sir. That's why Florida's out. It's full of Yankees. Excuse me. I mean full of... That don't include Florida. I can tell you that. I take on radio stations on a continuing basis, and I have managers from stations in Florida who call me at least once or twice a month saying, Brother Stale, come on our stations. I say, I have no burden for Florida. It's done. Ichabod. Finished. No burden for it. No burden. Went down there twice again and tried something. Didn't work. Just as dead. Florida's a dead state. Ichabod. Finished. 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 Kapook. Done. God's gathering a bunch of folk down here to wipe them off. Satan is going to try to make God a liar by using a flood. Can't use water because God won't let him. The word forbids him to use water. So he's going to try another type of a flood. Yeah, another type. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water. So he's going to try. He's going to try to make God a liar. As a flood. See, Satan right in the last chapter of Revelation still trying to make God a liar. Come on. Still trying to make God a liar. Still trying to make God a liar. He's going to come as a flood. He can't use water because the word's going to stop him. You know, they quote that scripture in the book of Thessalonians. Only he who now letteth will let. Until he be taken out of the way. It's talking about the Antichrist being restricted, Satan being restricted, not being able to do what he wants to do because he has a restriction on him. He's been restricted. And they've been trying to tell us what that restriction is. You heard it. Some say it's the church being raptured out. When the church is finally raptured out, the restriction will be gone. And Satan will be able to do what he wants to do. Some say it's the Spirit of God. when the church is raptured out, the Spirit goes, and there'll be no restrictions. And I've watched them argue that and hassle over that. And I said, God, what is this? Who is the He? Only He who now letteth will let. Until He be taken out of the way. Now, I'm going to get in trouble with this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The only one who allows and lets is God. He's the letter. The permitter. Only God. And He does it by His Word. Satan is prohibited from becoming the Antichrist and revealing himself because the Word hath declared a time and a place, and he can't make his move until that time and place is fulfilled. So the only thing that's keeping him from being revealed is the Word of God. Now that Word will one day be fulfilled and the restriction will be removed. Then he will be allowed to make his move. And he will come in like a flood. He will have no restrictions. None whatsoever. And his goal will be those who believe that God cannot lie. He will try to prove to those that still declare that God is God, and He's God because He can't lie. He will try to prove to you that God lied. He will make war with the saints. He will batter you from one side to the other. He will make you think God lied. Come on. He'll make you doubt God. He'll put that in your mind. Come on. He will batter you. He will batter. He will press. No restrictions will be on Him. He'll hit you by one side, down the other, up the other. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. The only standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit will raise up a standard. The only standard that will be raised up is the Spirit will quicken God's Word that cannot lie. Come on. That will be the standard. The standard will be the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. The Word that cannot lie. The Word that never fails. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The Word. That's why Satan has done his best to keep the Word from being preached to God's people. Fables, soothing stories, philosophical approaches, theological advances. Come on, but not the Word. The pure Word. But I am the Lord thy God, and beside thee there is no other. Amen. Hallelujah. I am that I am. I am the Almighty God. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Oh, praise God. And my word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. He that heareth my words and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man that built his house upon the rock. And when the flood came, when the flood comes, and beats on the house, the house will stand. Hallelujah. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Glory to God. Be on, O Satan. He is going to beat. He is going to beat. I was preaching this some time ago in Boston, and that flood overwhelmed me. I don't have no understanding of it yet, brother. I've had the devil come against me in his restricted form, and it seemed almost more than I could bear. I've had Satan come against me, and you have had too. You have too. In his restricted capacity, and almost wipe us out. That's what we're doing when we're talking about footmen and horsemen. We've only been running with the footmen. And we're having a hard time staying here. My God, what are we going to do when we have to go with the horsemen? Do we have an example of running with the horsemen? Sure we do. Elijah. He's up there on a mountaintop praying. God, we need the rain, God. You answered me when I prayed, take the rain away. Now it's time we need the rain, God. We can't stand against this Jezebel without the rain. Can't stand against this Babylonian system without the rain. Send down the rain, God. Send down the rain, God. And his servant said, I don't see anything. He said, go again. Go again. And he went again, and Elijah kept his face on his knees. Between his knees, he said, God, send the rain. Send the rain, God. Send the rain. His servant come back and said, I don't see nothing. Elijah said, go again. And he came back and said, there still ain't nothing. He said, go seven times. He said, I know if you go seven times, you got to see something. Something God has. Seven is God's number. God always moves on seven. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know about you, honey, but I believe old Elijah sat there and I heard him, heard the fellow go six times. And then he heard him go that seventh time. It's just like I told you today, brother. Bless God. Hallelujah. When God told him he was going to be in prison or in bondage for 7 years, at 5 years he couldn't do nothing. At 6 years, oh God, that was so good and made. I can't hardly get over that. I can't hold. That was a powerful statement, I said. Yeah. Yeah. He said, you're going to be in the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. Oh, how they suffered. How they were beat upon. How they were knocked down. How they were oppressed. Come on. Oh, but they were able to endure it. Come on. Yes, sir. They were able to hold out because they knew it was only going to be 7 years. Oh, and boy, when the countdown began. Oh, hallelujah. At 4 years, they cried and God didn't deliver them because he couldn't do it by his word. He was limited by his word. Come on. At 6 years, he couldn't deliver them because he was limited by his word. You want to know why God can't come, won't come back now and take care of this mess right now? Because his word has already established the time of Christ coming. He can't come until that time. Come on. So you got to endure unto the end. But if you endure unto the end, you will be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, if you can hang in it and hold out and press on and run on. Oh, God Almighty. I wish somebody say praise the Lord. Boy, 6 years went by, and then folk were crying and moaning and groaning, God deliver us. These Midianites are too much. God couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. But on the seventh year, he had to do it. He had to do it. He had to do it. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you something. When the time comes for Christ to come, he's going to have to do it. You better be ready because he's not going to wait for you to get ready then. He's not going to wait for you to get your lamps pinned and burning. Come on, honey. You better have the oil in your vessel. Come on, yes, sir. But when that time comes, behold, the bridegroom cometh. He's coming. 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 Hallelujah. And he's coming for a church that's without spot, without wrinkle, without a blemish, or any such thing. Oh, yeah. He's going to have it. 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 I'm going to tell you again. Somebody's going to pay for sitting on this service tonight. We are going to hear some judgment about this service tonight. I've told you three or four times, you can't willingly receive what I'm doing to leave. You choose to sit here and mock God. Each time I try to get moving to the right place, and in spite of your dull spirit, I'm still rising above you. You can't stop me. The enemy is going to come in like a flood at the revelation of the Antichrist. When he is revealed, the enemy then will have all restrictions taken off of him. He will only have one restriction upon him. Go down, touch the church. Do anything you want to do, but don't kill him. I'm not talking about killing you as a person. You're not the church. He will kill many individuals. But when he kills one, somebody else is going to rise up and say, I'm the church. I'm the people of God. He's not going to wipe out the church. He's not going to do it. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. I will build my church, and when the floodgates of hell are opened, it will not prevail against my church. Hallelujah.
When I get done with this church, it won't be the Baptist church or the Methodist church or the Episcopalian church or the Apostolic church or the Trinitarian church or the Black church. It'll be the church of the blood washed, the holy sanctified, of the firstborn, hallelujah, whose names are written in heaven. Oh, glory be to God, hallelujah. His church identified by His name, His church walking in His truth, His church living His life, His church living by His faith.
Hallelujah!
Gonna get rid of this damnable church business. They're all going back to mama. Every last one of them. Including the Church of God, Assembly of God, UPC, Jesus Only. They're all going back to mama. Name them. Which one do you belong to? I tell you before and I tell you again. If you belong to a church that made a member out of you, you belong to a church that does not come under the criteria of a New Testament church. You better get out of it. If you had to join the church, you are not in this church. You don't join this one. God as to the church. Daily such as should be saved. You don't just walk down and say, I'm going to join church. And if you had to join the church, you made a wrong move. You better say, take my name off your robe. You better disassociate and disfranchise yourself with that false church. Oh, we got a good church. If you had to join it, you are in the false church. Somebody says, I'm looking for a perfect church. Well, I keep telling you, keep looking. And when you join it, it won't be perfect no more. You don't join the church to be perfect. You get perfect to be in the church. The devil's going to come against us like a flood. The tribulation period will not affect the world at all. They're going to enjoy it. They'll take the mark. They'll buy. They'll sell. They'll marry. They'll give in marriage. They'll have free love and sex and everything under the sun. And they won't even know what's coming down. The wicked will do wickedly and will not understand. But the righteous will understand what's happening. It's a sign of the end. The floodgates are opening. They'll hate you. They'll separate you from their company. They'll persecute you. Come on, they'll beat on you. They'll mock you. They'll put you in jail. Some of you they'll kill. Now don't worry about you. You ain't worthy if you're scared. He won't trust you with that. Why would God want some shriveling, crying person dying for Him? But please don't kill me. Some young snot-nosed kid been calling me here. He said, I don't want to be smashed under the atomic bomb. Why would God? I said, you sniveling, crying, scared rascal. Afraid of what's coming. Let it come. Come on. Come on, devil. I can't hardly wait till the floodgates are open and the devil comes against us. You see, when the flood comes, I'm going to be looking at it. Oh, it's going to hit me. It's going to knock me. It's going to... But I'm going to be anchored in Jesus. Anchored. Hallelujah. I've anchored in Jesus. The storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus. And while we're out there in the flood, Psalms 29 verse 10 says, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. As I stick my head above the flood, all at once I'll see Jesus riding on the flood. He's riding the flood. Coming right behind me. Come on. He's riding the flood. He's controlling the flood. Come on. Whoa, yeah. Whoa, yeah. Whoa, yeah. Riding on
on the flood. Sitting on the flood. When the flood comes right behind it, riding on the flood. Sitting on the flood. It's coming the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Riding on the flood. Come on, flood. Come on, flood. Come on, Antichrist. Come on, flood. Because when he comes, honey, right behind him, he's going to become the King of Kings. I don't know if I make you understand what I'm saying. Riding on the flood.
That's the only scripture I wrote down tonight because I didn't want to lose it. I didn't want to lose that one. I got my concordance out. Made sure it was still there. I knew it was there, but I had lost it. But I wrote it down. Psalm 29, verse 10. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth. King forever. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Everybody stand, please. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them you love the Lord.
No wonder. No wonder John, after he saw all the terrible things of Revelation, ended that book with saying, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." If you think that flood ain't going to make him come quickly, floods move fast, honey. His old flash flood's going to come up, and he's going to be moving fast with the flood. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me, old Peter said, "Lord, is that you walking on the water? Lord, is that you out there on the flood? If it's you, bid me to come." Come on, child. We'll step up on the flood and start walking with him on the flood. I'm going to say amen. Oh, hallelujah. Walk out on the water, Peter. Walk out on the water. Walk out on the water. Hallelujah. Walk out on the water. Glory be to God. Oh, Peter, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the terror by night. Don't be afraid of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Oh, don't be afraid. 1,000 will fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand. It won't come nigh you. It won't hurt you. It won't destroy you. Because you have made the Lord your God your habitation, your dwelling place, your secret chamber.
Thank God. Praise the Lord.
How many of you people are going to be here with us for breakfast in the morning? Can you hold your hand up, please? You're going to have breakfast with us? We'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Huh? Put your hand up, please. You're going to be here for breakfast. So we know what to cook. Now, somebody count that side over here. Dave, would you count this side for me, please? Anybody going up the highway? You don't have enough money, please ask me. Just say, "Brother Starr, I want it to come so bad. And I got here, but I need a little money to go home. And these folk have blessed us enough. We'll help you. We'll help you. We'll even give you enough to buy McDonald's hamburger." If you're waiting for me to receive an offering, I'm not going to do it. You want to give one? Then you give it. Place it in my hand. Lay it on the table. Give it to somebody else.
I don't believe in taking offerings. If I take it, you can't give it. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. This is the way we live. The only car I have is a 78 Mercury. Somebody's fussing at me for driving that. See, when you preach like I preach, they think they can have the best, but they don't want you to have nothing. That's all. I don't want nothing. And God's blessed me with a wife who's content. Never asked for no clothes. Haven't bought her anything. I even try to think about buying a new car. She fussed at. You're ready to go on the road. She says, honey, let's take our little camper. I say, it's crowded. She said, but I like the little camper. Well, praise the Lord, so we take the camper. You don't ask for nothing. We don't get no paycheck. We live back here in a trailer. Floor's rotted out of it. We're going to have to fix it. That's all right. When the baby come, I said, honey, let's move over in the bigger trailer over here. She said, no. She said, let's keep that for a larger family. Be with more children. Okay? So, you're not giving your money to a crook. Don't waste your money. Don't fool with it. We count for everything. We'll give you a financial report if you give enough money to report. I sure ain't going to tell you what I do with the money unless you gave some. Ain't none of your business. Why should I tell you what to do with the money when you didn't give any? A fellow said to me one time, said, you ain't got the right to take these folks' money. I said, sir, would you please come back down here and I'll give you $20 back? He said, I didn't give you $20. Oh, I said, I see. I said, sir, I said, please come on down here and let me give you your $10 back. He said, I didn't give you $10. I said, well, sir, please come down here and let me give you $5 back. I didn't give you $5. Well, I said, sir, come on down here. Let me give you $1 back. He said, I didn't give you $1. I said, then what did you get? He said, nothing. I said, then shut your mouth. None of you have been for these other folk gave. Not a person here has been solicited and asked for money. Not a person. Some have given me $1,500 was given by one person, one family. The little sister gave almost $300 either was. One little sister. Even though I took in $3,000, it was done only by a handful of people. One man gave half of it. Another sister gave a third of it. So you see, but I didn't solicit nobody. Brother Hunter, I was with you how long up here? How many offerings did I take? Not once did I ask. Brother Hunter, did you have to help pay the bills? I said, did you have to help pay the bills? Did you get your help paying your bills? Where'd you get it from, sir? Did you put me up, brother? Took care of myself. That is the way most preachers do it, you know. Most preachers don't go to the preach to the churches and places and not demand some kind of help. Brother Meek, I've been to your home many times. Has it ever cost you any money to take care of me, sir? Did I ever give you any money, sir, to help you out, take care of things? Brother Lumpkin, when I come to your place, did it cost you any money to take care of me? You're seeing a unique type of ministry? Preachers all over this country, many of them, I send them money. Time and time again, I send preachers money. Men that I believe and trust and I'll encourage them. A few months ago, I was in a place in a... And I spoke to the man. He said, I want to get out of debt. I said, so be it. 6 months, we're going to believe God to get you out of debt. I came home and God said, now, ain't no sense you telling that man to get out of debt without helping him. So I sent him $100. I said, brother, here's the first step towards you getting out of debt. Got him going. Come on. I just the other day, he sent me $200 back. Every one of these men that work with us know that if they need help in anything, because they have proven trustworthy, willing to share, willing to give anything we got they can have. Oh, we're going to try it now. If it's God's will, we go all the way with it. It makes no difference. If it's not God's will, we all cut it off. Praise the Lord. You're looking at a modern day Paul. Yeah. I'm going to bring this church. I'm going to help it. I'm going to do it. God's going to help me do it. We're going to see that church come together. There we are. young man stood here today, and I said to him, what do you think you're called to be, son? Just a young fella. He said, I'm called to be an apostle. What did I tell you? Did I tell you God had apostles out there? And I said to him, but you're not an apostle yet, son. But I have no doubt that he's called to be one. Somebody said, he ain't got time. Why, God can age him up pretty quick. Come on. God can age him real quick. Come on. If he'll submit himself as Timothy did to Paul, one day old Paul will say, I charge you. My son Timothy. And then I told him straight out. I said, don't destroy the prophets. They're the one that's going to establish your apostleship. Because God will reveal it to the prophets. And they'll say, you're an apostle. They will lay hands on them. You're a pastor. God reveals it to the prophets. He reveals his secrets to the prophets. And I said, the moment that God reveals to me you are a qualified apostle, I will submit to you, sir. But then you better start having some answers for me. Amen.